All right, let's dive into another deep dive. Today, we're going to be tackling Swift UI transitions. You know, you shared that Swiftful Thinking tutorial recently, and even for someone, pretty comfortable with animations, I gotta say, it had some pretty interesting stuff in there.
It did.
It's like, animations are great for like what's already on the screen, but how do you make those elements like coming and going, feel really nice, really polished?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. Transitions, they're often kind of overlooked, but I really think they're key to crafting that really smooth, really nice, intuitive user experience. It's like it's the difference between something that just, functions versus something that feels really, really good to use.
Totally. And the tutorial, it starts off by like highlighting this difference, right? Between like animations and transitions, modifying what's already there versus these elements that are entering and exiting, like the view hierarchy. And I gotta admit, I hadn't really thought about it like that before.
It is a subtle difference, but it's a crucial one. And it does impact how Swift UI manages the, the whole animation process behind the scenes. It's really the foundation upon which you're building these, fancy effects and making sure that it all looks good and feels right.
For sure, for sure. So let's get into the the nitty-gritty, I guess. The tutorial, it uses a pretty simple example, a button that controls a rounded rectangle. And the rounded rectangle, like, it fills half the screen, and they even like calculate the height dynamically using like UI screen.main.bounds.height times 0.5. It's like a neat little trick to keep in your back pocket.
Oh, absolutely. Hard coding values can lead to like layout nightmares, especially when you're dealing with so many different devices. This is a much better way to make sure that your design looks good no matter what screen size it's on.
And so they start with a basic like opacity animation just to show how it works with elements already there, right? So just like a fade in, pretty standard stuff.
And they go with the, the ease and out animation curve, kind of a classic choice for UI elements because it just feels natural, it's smooth, like something coming into focus.
Yeah, totally. But then here's where things get really interesting, I think. They bring in the dot slide transition, and it's triggered by the button press, and suddenly, like this simple rounded rectangle, right, it's just like entering the screen now with this sense of like direction. Like it has purpose. It's almost like it's been choreographed.
Yeah, and that's exactly what a well-chosen transition can do. It gives it a story, right? Instead of just appearing, it's coming in from the left, almost guiding the user's eye. Think about how you could use that to like subtly reinforce the navigation within a complex form or something.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, it's not just about like, flashiness. It's about really guiding the user, like making the experience more intuitive.
Exactly. Yeah, transitions, they can really act as these visual cues that like help users understand relationships, really like spatial relationships, actions, all within your interface. They add a layer of meaning, I guess.
Totally, totally. Okay, so then they move into dot move, which I think is like perfect for, those bottom-up pop-ups you see everywhere. And they even suggest using like spring to give it that little like playful bounce.
I mean, while I appreciate your enthusiasm for the spring animation, I do think it's like super important to be mindful of the context, right? You wouldn't want like a super serious alert message bouncing onto the screen, that might not convey the right emotion.
Like a playful bounce for a settings menu, sure. But something more serious, like you got to match the tone.
Exactly. Transitions, they should complement, not distract. It's all about that harmony.
For sure. Okay, and speaking of like more subtle things, they then go into using dot opacity as a transition. And this is where things get a little bit quirky. Like it doesn't really behave the same way as a regular animation. You have to apply dot animation directly to the opacity modifier.
Yeah, it's a little head scratcher. Almost like Swift UI treats opacity differently when it comes to transitions. Makes you wonder why that is, what's going on under the hood.
Yeah, that's a good question for, maybe our listeners can investigate, see if they can figure it out.
Yeah, let us know if you have any theories.
All right, so then they briefly mention like dot scale, which creates that zoom effect. I'm already picturing, using that for like image reveals or like attention grabbing buttons, kind of making them pulse or something.
I love it. You're getting it. That's the beauty of transition. There's not just about, physics. They're about really enhancing that user experience, adding that delight, that little bit of magic.
Totally, totally. Okay, now get ready because this is where things get fun. They introduce asymmetric transitions, which, I mean, you can use different transitions for when something appears and disappears. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's like having double the creative firepower. You're not stuck with one transition for both actions,
Yeah.
you know. Imagine a modal that like slides up from the bottom but then fades out when it's dismissed. It's subtle, but it adds visual interest and reinforces the hierarchy.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, I'm already seeing like all these different combinations. They even show how to combine dot move and dot opacity with like custom animations for some really cool effects. It's wild.
It's true. The possibilities really are endless. It all just comes down to experimentation and finding that sweet spot, you know,
Yeah.
that balance between visual appeal and, of course, making sure it's still usable.
Okay, so we've got dot slide, we've got dot move, we've got dot opacity, dot scale, and that really interesting dot asymmetry. It's like a whole toolbox. And either one can add its own, like, you know, its own flavor. But before we get carried away, I think it's time to see how this actually works in practice. What do you say we dive into that custom pop-up example from the tutorial?
I was hoping you'd say that. Let's break it down and see how they're using these transitions, you know, in a real-world scenario,
Yeah.
something that we might actually encounter in our own projects. Okay, so let's break down this custom pop-up. It's like a classic design pattern, right?
Yeah.
But the way they use transitions, I mean, it just takes it to another level. It's not just functional, it's elegant.
Yeah, it really is. It's like, you know, it feels so natural. It's almost like it was meant to be there, you know, at the bottom of the screen, just popping up to say hello.
Right. It's all about that dot move transition combined with, you know, the dot bottom edge. By specifying the origin, it's like you're giving the animation context. It has a sense of place.
Yeah, and of course they add that dot spring animation. Gotta have that bounce.
Yeah, I do love a good spring animation. But, you know, remember what we were saying earlier about context.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't want this on like a serious alert, you know, that wouldn't really work.
Exactly. So I'm making sure those transitions like really match the tone, the purpose, you know.
Totally. It's got to be cohesive. And I like how they like for the dismissal, they don't use the same springy dot move. They go with a simple dot opacity fade out.
Yeah, it's smart. It creates this nice distinction, right, between appearing and disappearing. And it also subtly reinforces that hierarchy. Like, okay, the pop-up is gone, the focus is back on the main content.
Yeah, it's like a visual exhale.
Exactly. It's those subtle things, you know, that make your UI feel less like a bunch of random elements and more like this, you know, orchestrated experience.
It's like you're a conductor. All right. So we've talked about context, visual hierarchy. This whole example, it got me thinking about something they mentioned earlier, like visual hierarchy, right? You know, we talk about using like font sizes, different colors to guide the user's eye, but transitions can play a role in that too, can't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, you know, bold text can signal importance. A strong transition can highlight key actions or changes. It's another tool in your arsenal, another way to communicate with your users.
Okay, so we've got context, we've got hierarchy, we've even talked about like, you know, a little bit of animation psychology. But there's one more thing from this example I want to highlight. Asymmetry.
Ah, yes. Asymmetry. You're not limited to one transition, right? For both actions, you know, entry and exit.
Right. They combine dot move and dot opacity for the dismissal. So it's not just sliding down, it's fading out at the same time. And it's subtle, but it makes a big difference.
It does. It's like adding that polish. Think about like an element that slides in from the left, but then scales down as it disappears. Or maybe it rotates while fading out.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, you could even use it like between screens, right, to create that flow. Like one element slides out as the next one slides in from the other direction.
Exactly. A visual bridge. Okay, so this has been really great. We've talked about dot slide, dot move, dot opacity, even dot scale. That quirky behavior of opacity transitions, asymmetry. And I think the big takeaway for me is that transitions, they're not just about, you know, looking pretty. They're tools. Tools for communication, for guiding the user, for making things easier to use.
Oh, 100%.
They're that extra layer that really makes the difference.
Okay. Before we wrap up this transition talk, I think we need to address like the elephant in the room, the view hierarchy. I have a feeling this plays a pretty big role in how transitions actually work. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yes, the view hierarchy, the unsung hero, I guess. It really does impact how transitions behave. Because remember, transitions are all about views entering and exiting, you know?
So if you mess up the hierarchy, could your transitions like go haywire?
It's possible. You might get some, let's just say, unexpected results. Imagine like trying to apply a transition to a view that's buried deep, you know, within a bunch of other views. The transition might end up affecting the whole thing, not just a view you want.
Oh yeah, that would be a mess. Okay, so how do we avoid that?
Well, be mindful of the structure, you know. If a view you want to transition is nested really deep, maybe think about restructuring it. bring it closer to the top level.
So it's all about placement.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's not just about the initial structure. It's also about how views are, like, added and removed during the transition. This is where things like conditional rendering and state management come in.
Ooh, okay, I see where you're going with this.
We could dive deeper into that later. But for now, just remember, timing is key. You don't want state changes happening too quickly, or the transition might not have time to do its thing.
It's like a bad stage cue, right?
Exactly. And you also need to think about the view's life cycle. Like, if a view is removed before the transition's done, it can cause problems.
It's like pulling the rug out from under it.
You got it. So manage those state changes carefully and make sure everything's synced up.
This is starting to feel like a real balancing act.
It is. It's a symphony. But remember, everyone makes mistakes. The important thing is to be aware of the pitfalls and use your debugging tools to, you know, fix any issues.
So much to think about. Okay, well, this deep dive has been amazing. We've gone from, like, simple rectangles to this whole world of view hierarchy and state management. It's been a journey.
It has. And remember, we've only just scratched the surface. There's still so much to explore with transitions. Custom transitions, timing curves, all that fun stuff.
I feel like there's a whole new world out there. Okay, before we get too carried away with our transition experiments, I have a question that's been kind of nagging at me.
Oh, I'm all ears. What's on your mind?
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the visuals, right? But what about accessibility? Can transitions be used to make our apps more accessible?
That's a great question. And you're right. There's a definite connection there. It's about making an experience that works for everyone, you know, not just people who can see everything perfectly.
So how do we do that? How do we use transitions to make things more inclusive?
Well, that's a topic for our next deep dive.
Yeah, it's really interesting to think about transitions in this way, you know, through the lens of accessibility. Like, we often get so caught up in how they look, but it's really about making the experience work for everyone, right?
Exactly. Think about, like, someone using a screen reader. If an element just suddenly appears, you know, it can be really disorienting. But a transition, it can provide an audible cue. It's like a little signpost.
Oh, that's interesting. So instead of the screen reader just saying, like, button appeared, it can say something like, button slid in from the right.
Exactly. Yeah, it's that little shift in language, you know, guided by the transition. And it makes a huge difference for someone who's not relying on those visual cues. Helps them understand where things are, how it all fits together.
It's like the transition is telling a story, not just a visual thing.
I like that. Yeah, it's a narrative. And it's not just screen readers either. Think about users with, like, cognitive differences or people who are sensitive to sudden changes. A jarring transition can be really overwhelming.
Right, right. So instead of, like, a springy pop-up that bursts onto the screen, maybe something like a gentle fade-in would be better.
Exactly. You want to create an experience that's calming, you know, predictable. Reduce that cognitive load. It's all about choosing the right transition for the right situation and for the right people.
This is really making me rethink how I approach transitions. It's like a whole other level of Swift UI, you know, where it's not just about making things look cool, but making them truly inclusive.
And the best part is Swift UI makes it so easy to do, you know. The same tools that let us create those cool effects, we can use them to make our apps more accessible for everyone.
So if we had to, like, sum it up, what are some of the key things our listeners should keep in mind?
Well, first of all, always think about the context. What kind of app are you building? A game? A productivity tool? Something that handles sensitive data that should guide your choices?
Right, right. It's got to fit. And you also mentioned thinking about the audience, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Who are you designing for? What are their needs? A little empathy goes a long way.
And don't be afraid to experiment, right? Try different things. See what works.
Exactly. Play around with those transitions. See how they feel with different assistive technologies. Get feedback from users. It's all about learning and making things better.
Inclusivity, it's not just a box you check. It's a journey.
Well said. So as you keep exploring Swift UI, you know, remember, transitions are more than just visual flourishes. They can make your app more communicative, more engaging, and yes, more inclusive.
Use them wisely, use them thoughtfully, and use them to build apps that everyone can enjoy.
And hey, if you discover any cool tricks or if you have any questions, you know where to find us. We're always here to help.
That's right. Happy coding, everyone.